Thank you, Danny and Debbie. If you have your Bibles taken, open them up to the book of John. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. The last song says, I know Jesus. The question is, do you know Jesus? Because he already knows you. Promise you. And he wants to know you even better personally. John chapter 14. Especially appreciate the song, Danny, about Down on My Knees, how great a tool our Lord has given us by intercessory prayer. And that is always so important to give him thanks, but also to allow us not only pray for ourselves, but for others, and it means so much. And we see, as God's Word makes promises throughout, he says, when two or more agree and they bind it, then it is bound in heaven. And so he honors and looks at those prayers that we give for others, and especially those who are in need. And so thank you for being a part of that intercessory prayer. And I know within our church, one of the great things that causes our church to prosper is those of you who are prayer warriors. And no greater calling can be to be a prayer warrior. And so we appreciate the fact that you have humbled yourself to do that task. And of course, the fact that our Lord hears each and every prayer and has an answer for them. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. Or it's in process. So let us be patient and wait upon him, as Isaiah tells us. John chapter 14, the title of the message is The Promise. And we have the many promises within the Bible that God has given us. He promised a Savior. He's fulfilled it. He promised to the nation of Israel, to Abraham, that they would be a nation. He makes promises of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. He promises you and I that the soul lives eternally. And he allows us to choose what eternity that we want to choose. But he makes a way for us to see his vision of eternity, which is his desire, and why he sent Jesus Christ. And here in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus speaks to the disciples, but he speaks to you and I. And he speaks of a promise of what is to come. Oftentimes in our daily lives, with all the different things that come about and the noise of the world and trials and tribulations, it gets hard for us to see. You meet many people along their life, and sometimes we're in that same spot where we just basically say, Lord, I don't understand. Why? We start looking for the whys. Why has this happened? What is coming about? But rest assured, God promises us that he is in control. And so I invite you to stand here to honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Our Lord and Savior is the one who is speaking. He starts by saying right off the bat, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself. Receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. You may be seated. Folks, that is a promise. And we read of those same promises that Jesus put together in those four verses in many of the different books of the Bible. He made it very succinct for us to understand what is taking place. Matthew tells us that we're not to worry. We're not to be troubled by whatever comes. Jesus starts out right here, let not your heart be troubled. Oftentimes in the things that we see in the daily grind of the life, we get troubled by things. It may be that are happening to us. It may be that's occurring in someone else's life that we care about, that we work with, or for many of you who are teachers and work with the children, you're concerned with those. We heard many of the prayer requests today on people that you all have come in contact with. Not each of us know them, but it is a request that you have concern for them. God also assures us that whatever you or I have a concern with, He's concerned with as well. And so Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. He says, if you believe, He says, you believe in God, believe in me. The question becomes, do we really believe that God is big enough to handle any problem that comes up in our life? It's the bottom line. We say oftentimes that we have a God greater and bigger than any problem that exists. The question is, do we live that out? Think about it sometimes. If we worry and fret over it constantly, trying to figure out how we're going to resolve the situation, we're basically by our actions saying, I don't believe God's big enough, I got to handle this one. And all of our intelligence and all of our knowledge, we think we can handle it better than the God who created all things. And Jesus tells us, don't let your heart be troubled. He is big enough. He does care enough. He has interest in everything that interests us. He has control over all things. He then continues and says, in my father's house, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You flip that around and say, well, what does that mean? He's flat telling you, I am not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. He furthers that by saying, I go to prepare a place for you. Now think about that for a minute. When we look up at the stars in the sky and we see all the beauty of the hill country, we even hear about the storms that took place this last week, how that the clouds can come together, the wind comes and begins to swirl, and we see the destruction that nature can cause. There's only one creator of all that nature. When you look and see a beautiful sunset, or a sunrise, man had nothing to do with that creation. He did. We have lovely, beautiful flowers up here today. You ever study a rose or some of the flowers to really look at how they're orchestrated? Folks, we didn't create that. God did. We watch the beauty of a horse run. Man had nothing to do with it. God created it. When we see a newborn calf or a newborn fuzzy puppy or a newborn baby, God created it. Bottom to top and top to bottom. Everything in our lives God created. He created you and I uniquely. His scripture tells us you are uniquely made. Number one, all that we see here about, oh, well, I want to be this gender or I want to be that gender or whatever I want to be. God created you uniquely. Now, there's some things He's going to work on in our lives. And those things are ones which, because of sin, they get out of whack. But the great craftsman is there to put them back in line. When we come to know Jesus, He changes our perspective. Otherwise, we see everything just as the world sees it. Scripture tells us that we are a peculiar people. Now, in our world, peculiar means you're a little odd, right? That's not the way God, at the time of the writing, that it meant it. Peculiar meant that it was one which is separated from the crowd. There's been times in our lives, one thing or another, if you're really honest with yourself, you wanted to stand out from the crowd. You wanted to be whatever it was you're involved in. You wanted to be the hero of the quarterback on the Friday night that saved the whole game. You wanted to be the top barrel racer. Maybe you wanted to be the outstanding salesman of the month, or the outstanding teacher, or whatever it may be. We had a drive to stand out from the crowd. And you see, God in His infinite wisdom said, I want you to stand out, to be different from the day in, day out world. I want them to see something special in you. And that is my Son, Jesus Christ. For He is special. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you because you are special. You're not the rest of the world. You're one of my brothers and my sisters. I sit at the right hand of the Father and you sit alongside of me. Paul writes it another way. He says that when we come to know Jesus Christ, and I'll paraphrase it, he says, we are holy and righteous. I've been called a lot of things in my life, but holy was never one of them. But my Savior says, I'm holy and righteous. When I look to Him, accept Him, and follow His lead. And so are you. He says, I prepare a place for you, a home. Now, we oftentimes look at different things of houses and things that people have built, and we think, man, what a beautiful building, or what a beautiful home. Somebody thought of every single thing you would need. That's our home in glory. 100%. Everything that we need, everything that we could want, God has placed in our mansion, whatever that is, I can't tell you. He doesn't go to describe it. That's part of that faith and trust. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. What I have to look at is the beauty of this world, the orchestration that goes into all of nature and of the heavens, and how everything is uniquely made. How could I not trust that same architect not to create a beautiful home for me for all of the forever? And that's what Jesus promises here. He says, I, personally, that Lord and Savior who went to the cross and died for mine and your sins, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He speaks of the perfection of salvation. See, man oftentimes wants to take what God did and try to add to it. Jesus on that cross said, it is finished. Complete. Perfect. Nothing else to add, nothing to take away. And that same craftsman of redemption for you and I says, I go to create a place for you to live all of eternity. He says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. What a promise. And not only will He come again, He says, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. What an invitation. We talk about heaven and how everything in heaven is perfect, and we have a loving God that says, if you come through my Son, I invite you to my home. See, that's always special when somebody invites you to their home. See, it's one thing for you to come to my house, And we stand and talk at the front door. I never opened the door to let you in. That's an acquaintance. But if I invite you into my home, now I'm letting you into my inner person with all the beauty and all of the lumps as well. Okay? See, it's one thing to know you by an acquaintance. Yeah, you got two eyes and two ears. Looks normal. Yeah, probably okay. It's another one I invite you in and I really get to know you. And God knows us. He knows all of the beauty of us and He knows all of the warts of us. And He's a wart fixer. He'll take care of those items. That preparing a place for you and I that Jesus talks about is not only a place for to live, but He prepares us every day. The promise is, I prepare a place for you. That means we too have to be prepared for that place. And that's our time here on earth. That the Holy Spirit begins to work with us within, outwardly, in order to prepare us to be ready for that place He's prepared, and then to be received unto our Lord. Promise of Thessalonians tells us, and Corinthians through Paul tells us, the very instant that we draw our last breath here is the first breath in His presence. Mid-stride, we never even get through with that breath here before we start breathing there. The soul, He promises, lives forever. He says, and there I receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. Folks, that's a God that wants you and I with Him forever. He not only wants to be with us in this life through His Holy Spirit, but He literally wants you and I to be in His presence with Him. Not stuck off in a corner. He says, where I am, you may also be. And where is He? At the right hand of the Father. You understand the theology now? You and I sit right beside Him. Now, how we all manage to be in that one spot, I don't know. But I'm assured the Creator can do it. That's a big chair, is all I can tell you. But I believe His promise. And despite what the world says, well, we haven't seen, He promised to come, we hadn't seen Him over 2,000 years. I assure you, I firmly believe Jesus will come again. And because of His promises, I also believe that if you do not know Him personally, you'll never see the shores of heaven. God also created a place called hell. God will not be there. It's cold, it's desolate, but yet it's full of fire. He made that for those who reject His Son, Jesus Christ. He says, and where I go, you know, and the way, you know. If you continue reading down there, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. So if you look down, Jesus in verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, it's kind of like if you want to come to my house and come inside, then you got to come to my door and knock on it, and I'll let you in. Especially when I invite you. Why don't you come on over? Just come up there, knock on the door, and I'll open it, and you can come in. Have a seat. And you see, that's exactly what Jesus does. He comes and He knocks on the heart of our the door of our heart. No more than you would, I tell you to come over, that you would kick my door open. Jesus doesn't kick your door open. He knocks. And he waits for you to answer. And when he does come in, he brings all of those promises. You don't have to let your heart be troubled. Jesus said, I give you my peace. You don't have to be sad, for you belong to the King for all of eternity. Jesus said, I give you my joy. Jesus said, I give you myself, that where I am, you may also be. And Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He says, I am the way, so that's how we have to come to Him. Despite what others may tell you, many man may tell you, there is no way to the Father, there is no way to eternal life in heaven except through Jesus Christ. Anything else that you hear or are told, that's a lie of the devil. Do not believe it. You will be sadly disappointed upon that day. He says, I am the truth. A lot of things that God can do, everything He can do, except He cannot lie. Not capable. Every promise that you find in this book, He has fulfilled or is in the process of fulfilling today. He says, I am the truth and the life. If you go over a little further in John here, he talks about the life. Chapter's called the abundant life. Not just existing, but to live abundantly, both in the here and now, as well as for all of eternity. He continues on, if you look down through there, and he says, if you had known me, you would know my Father. I've often heard that said, you know, I'd really like to know God more. Well, my friend, that starts by knowing His Son, Jesus Christ. You can't know the Father if you don't know the Son. But if you know the Son, you know the Father. Isn't that great? That's just awesome. Another promise that He gives us. And so you and I, in this short few verses, are presented the promises of the gospel for all of eternity. You and I have the great opportunity who know Jesus Christ to share that gospel with others every day. It doesn't have to be a special event. You see, special events are just that. They're special. But what most people learn and see, our children grow the same way, is what they see mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, coach, teacher, boss, whoever it is, it's what they see every single day that they know of you about. Not just on those special events, not just on Sunday, not just when you're at the church, but every day. Greatest thing about our Lord, He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. He's constant. That gives you and I a solid foundation of His consistency and of His faithfulness for His promises. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If you don't know that Jesus Christ today personally, be our prayer that you do. Let's go to our Lord in prayer.